This is the second day of the July 2014 three-day retreat in Springwater. So, how is it being quiet here together? To be here in this simple rhythm after leaving our ordinary lives that are so filled with doing and movement and goals. How is it being here in this silence? Being silent. Living the silence. To be here as our sometimes restless minds want to go somewhere and to patiently stay with the restlessness. What explorations have you found yourself doing? What discoveries? What is revealing itself in this silence? The silence that includes everything. Things small and intimate, and feelings in the gut, the vast sky, and the wind coming and going. And as Sandra said yesterday, space for everything. Everything being just as it is. The tree leaves quaking just the way they quake. And space too for the mystery that we are, to live and breathe just as it does. The living and breathing that feels like it's just here on this chair or cushion, and the living and breathing of us all being together. And it's amazing too how everything keeps being what it is. Even amidst all our efforts to rearrange ourselves and others and the world to fit something, And yet it never works because everything just keeps being what it is. And it's ever changing. Our moods changing day by day, moment by moment. The mood of the weather changing. And somehow we keep trying to kind of get it fixed, get it held in something manageable. Both rearranging the movement of life that feels outside of ourselves and also what is happening here in the intimacy of this body. Trying to find happiness by getting things to be this certain way. And always, always, it never working out, even if it does for a moment. The river keeps flowing. That is so hauntingly beautiful and sometimes terrifying, how there's nothing to grab onto. And yet perhaps discovering in this silence that there really is room for everything. And it's not so scary that it all is changing. I'm remembering a phrase from the Dzogchen tradition of Tibet, Tibetan Buddhism, that simply says, happiness is found in relaxing into the nature of things as they are. That amazing word, relaxing, and for me it doesn't point to something that I can do, but rather discovering the relaxing of the effort to fight, to quarrel, to control, to fix. The true happiness is the relaxing of that whole effort. In silence, this quality of everything being undivided and interconnected. And how in many ways we know this, we think it, and yet here we can discover the livingness of that. how a tree seems like a discrete entity. And yet, how could the leaves be there without the branches? The branches without the trunk? The trunk without the roots and the soil? And the organisms that work with the roots to provide nutrients? And the sunlight and water moving and raining, giving moisture. So a tree is all of those things. All of this moving and living. And much more profound than any of these simple words can point to. And us too, these bodies that feel so independent and often lonely and isolated. We are not discrete things either. Our very existence coming about in our mother's bodies, so mysterious. And all the care of countless people that allowed us to learn and grow. Not perfect, sometimes painful, and yet, one way or another, here we are. And all the organisms that live in our body, making life possible. Our networks of friendships and livelihood, all one living whole. And yet, it's amazing, isn't it, how we walk around feeling this separation and loneliness. And this open question, how does this come about? How is it coming about, perhaps right in this moment? This movement of thought and imagery and story making that moves within us and creates. This seemingly solid separateness. And in our everyday life, it seems that we're driven by this, and it's kind of dark. And yet, in the patience of being here, it too, this activity can reveal itself. how words and thoughts have this capacity to name things as a helpful way to acknowledge the presence of something. But it also has this power of turning the undivided whole. Once something is named, it can become a thing. A thing that has only these properties that the naming attributes to it. And how it starts to seem like the world is composed of all of these things, and including ourselves. And discrete things are going to bump into each other and be in conflict. And how wonderful, delightful that there is naming, how a young child loves to name things. And yet this power of it to take over, and we start looking for truth in the names. And so stories get started, beliefs become believed. A concert of thought weaves this story of the world and ourselves. And because it only touches a shadow of the livingness of things, when we believe this is the truth, it becomes very painful. Because life cannot fit into these boxes. And one way or another, this concert of thoughts creates the intimate world each of us experiences. What we were saying in group yesterday, how this world is created moment by moment and seems so real, and how it's able to get the larger world to participate in validating that this is the world. Really remarkable. I have a friend who's a therapist and has also been doing this work for a long time, who has come to look at the human experience of this ongoing world of creation as an ever-changing movement of states. And these states include everything, the story, beliefs, feelings, emotions, muscular holdings, sometimes even mood music, like a movie. A whole world of ever-changing states. And I share this not as an absolute truth, but as one way of perceiving, being with these ever-changing qualities we experience. And how the world is created anew with each state. And sometimes we're living in one world and a person will say something and triggers a whole new state. And some of these states are so wild. And then another state comes to try to control the wild state. And how really wonderful it is to begin to see that these really are stories, these really are states. They're not the whole of reality. And it's all right that they're here. It's the human way that this is how it is. Each of us being together in working relationships and love relationships with these ever-changing states and the patience in relationship of being with our own and our friends' states. And how in the silence has there's a beginning recognition of no solidity to this identity. It's just an impression that comes from this movement and change of states. One moment this can seem scary, and another moment so freeing. Because we may come upon the miracle of the seeing of the states. The miracle that there really is something here that does not change. Something so undefinable and so transparent that it goes unnoticed. And so in a retreat, in a meditative community and writings, we point to this with words, awareness and presence. In Buddhism, the true self, our own self, true nature. In the Indian tradition, the self, the capital S. And the nature of thought is such that once we point to this, it starts to figure out how to get this, or find it, or be it, or create the state. We're talking in group about how it sometimes seems that there's thought and then there's awareness, and these are two separate things. that's just thought coming up against its limitation and trying to talk about what is beyond its capabilities. And these words are simply here to point us back to the silence itself, to pure being, to acknowledge that, yes, this that we call awareness is here. This beingness that is naturally here does not have to be sought afar or created. Simply here in the middle of thought, the middle of activity, and in the silence of quietly sitting. So the Dzogchen tradition speaks of relaxing into this. And it's funny because it's a relaxing of all of our efforts to find it. And then perhaps noticing, oh yes, there is seeing going on, hearing, and seeing and hearing that's beyond the sense of the organs. There's comings and goings. And those too are part of the awareness. And perhaps meditation, being on retreat, is just simply slowing down enough, pausing and being, so that this looking the other way isn't happening so much. Discovering I don't have to change something, create something, go somewhere. Just this. Here's a quote from Tony. Isn't it interesting that we usually don't think of open, pure awareness as our essential humanness? The open awareness that beholds the arising and passing of all joyful and painful events, the thoughts and emotions and everything that's created and destroyed in their wake. Beholding it all in wonderment, without losing this present moment of non-entanglement. This bright, impartial awareness with its natural wisdom and compassion, is not that the essence of our humanness? This bright, impartial awareness with its natural wisdom and compassion, is not this the essence of our humanness? Or will we rather reserve that expression for our chronic attachment to thoughts and feelings, our past and future pleasures and pains? This bright, impartial awareness with its natural wisdom and compassion. These beautiful words pointing back to right here. To this naturalness. Pointing simply to this. Let's end the words here.